We do have a few announcements this morning. One of them is first with our prayer shawl ministry. The shawl is for Diane Boltmeyer, who just underwent surgery, but she is recovering quite well. But we will just surround her in comfort. Please pray with me. May God's grace be upon this shawl, warming, comforting, enfolding, and embracing. May this mantle be a safe haven, a sacred place of security and well-being and healing, sustaining and embracing in good times as well as difficult ones. May the one who receives this shawl be cradled in hope, kept in joy, graced with peace, and wrapped in love. Blessed be. Amen. I invite you to center yourself and we listen to Maddie and Doris play a duet. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Seeking reconciliation with God and our neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. God of mercy, when we were laid low by sin and guilt, God made us alive together with Christ, forgiving us all our trespasses and taking our sins to the cross. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in this good news.
Amen.
Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please. I invite any children forward, children of all ages. If you want to have a chat, I'm right here. Well, let me ask you then, children of God, how do you pray? What happens when you pray? Show me. With your hands, show me with your face. What do you do? This one, you look up. So you put your hands up. What's some other ways? Another way is out. Who prays like this and on their knees? A little traditional. What happens when you're doing dishes, though, and you have a pray? What do? You drop everything? You look up. There's another way to do it, right? Look up and hopefully don't drop what you got. Is it okay that we don't take on a certain posture to pray?
Yes.
Why? Because God doesn't care. Why would God not care why we have a certain posture, not when we pray? Because we're supposed to be praying constantly. I don't know how much money we'd make if we do that, but maybe being a monk, you could do that. Yeah, being retired, that's definitely one way. I look forward to that. This is the way that God works with us, right? That we can pray about anything at any time. And that's such a gift that we don't have to do anything in our prayers other than the fact that God is with us. Or maybe not know that God is with us. And praying, I can't find you right now and I really need to see you. I can't hear you right now. I really need to hear you. That's how we pray, right? Or you say, this is what you should do right now because I am really thinking this is the way I would do it if I was you, right? That can also be a prayer. But can God receive that too? Absolutely. Please pray. Lord, we give thanks for all the ways that we can pray to you and we can approach you without worry for our conscience, without worry for our postures or our words or anything that comes with that, that we can just be open and free to you. And we give thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you sweep them away from the place and will not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to them, Suppose 40 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there. He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He said, let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. Let us pray Psalm 138 responsively. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down towards your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and faithfulness, for you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, and it cares for the lowly, receiving the haughty from afar.
Though I walk through the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your purpose for me, O Lord, you say.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Colossians. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and upbuilt in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in Him the fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in Him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with Him in baptism, you were also raised with Him through faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with Him when He forgave all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink and of observing festivals of new moon. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Please. Let's continue our conversation. Let's think about this. After you pray, you're praying, right? What happens? Think about how you pray again. Go back to that place. You quiet yourself. You concentrate on what you're going to say and what is on your heart. And you speak to God, right? Or, if you're like me, you stop halfway through a thought and you tell God what you think God should do. Or you're feeling really grateful, or sad, or frustrated. And you say, "Thank you." Or you say, "Please help me." But then what happens? If you're like me, you resume the thought, and you continue on with the day. Don't worry, when God wants to say something, you'll hear it. Or, you know, you do what is the more patient thing. And you listen. Or you watch for God to make the next move. But imagine a different scenario. God is speaking to you. God is talking your ear off all the time, and sometimes you hear what God is saying. And you repeat it back. Or more likely, you play telephone and you repeat back what you think you heard God say. What if that was prayer? What if God did what we believe? God made the first move, and we responded in prayer. When we pray, we usually think that God is the one responding. We almost read it, "Ask first, and then you'll receive." But as Lutherans, we believe that nothing gets done without God acting first, right? Think of all the gifts God gives: love, faith, freedom, the Holy Spirit. So it's a little strange to think that sometimes that prayer should begin with us. Prayer is a gift that God gives us. But like all gifts with God, prayer deepens our relationship with God. It is there to deepen our relationship. It is there to transform us. Think about it. Like faith, like love, or the Holy Spirit, doesn't prayer really transform us? What if we thought instead of our prayers being actions we take? What if each prayer we offer is a gift God gives us? That changes things. Take the Lord's Prayer. With this Lord's Prayer, did you notice something missing? Raise your hand if you noticed something missing. Oh, that's good. Noticeably absent from Jesus' prayer in the Gospel we hear today is this very point. Your will be done is not in there. Very strange. Did Luke miss the memo? Or did he lose his notes? Nah, I don't think so. Instead, Luke may not include it because for the Gospel of Luke, God's will is done through the prayer itself. God gives us this prayer, as all prayers, as a gift that transforms us. Think about what we say in the Lord's Prayer. Think about God's will in relation to that. Is God's will done when we keep God's name holy? Do we? Yes. Okay. Thank you. God's will is also done when hungry people are fed both in body and spirit. Isn't that true? God's will is done then. God's will is done when we forgive and we are forgiven. God wants us to be free from our real debts and from the ones about salvation too. God wants our lives to be transformed by our relationship with God. God's will happens when we see the world as God sees it, the vision for the world. It's in need of transformation all the time. Luke doesn't need to include your will be done, because for Luke, the point of prayer is not so much about us and our vision of the world. It's about God's vision of the world and God's vision for the world. That is the gift of prayer. In this excerpt from Luke's Gospel today, Jesus tells us a really strange parable. It doesn't show up in any of the other Gospels, so it's unique. On the surface, it looks like a story about someone who, although loath to help and inconvenienced, learns his lesson and does the right thing. Here's a person who has woken up in the middle of the night. Think about it. Try to imagine this place. He's a person who's woken up in the middle of the night, or you're woken up in the middle of the night. Think about it. And does what any of us would do. Man, do you know what time it is? You couldn't ask me for this in the morning. He grumbles at the inconvenience. His house is all tucked up, and here comes this neighbor from across the street needing something. You don't have anything in your fridge, I don't think would be a really great question to ask. I don't think they had 24-hour stores or 7-Elevens that he could have run down the street and gotten something. But this is not just mere inconvenience. In a time when everyone slept in the same room, sometimes in the same bed, when the animals were brought in at night, a knock on the door could mean that everyone who is asleep is now awake. So that this friend in the house is disturbed by his neighbors knocking on the door, that's not so strange, right? It's not mere inconvenience. We are even told that the man who is knocking on the door, or the neighbor who is knocking on the door, is knocking as this word, think of this word, shamelessly persistent, or shamelessly perseverant. No shame in knocking all the time, over and over and over again. What the Greeks called anaveia. What is strange, however, is that Jesus tells us that the neighbor, the one who's shamelessly knocking, is the right one. We could almost hear him saying, keep knocking at the door until you get what you want, right? Isn't that kind of strange? But this is not all to the story. We have to feel for this neighbor too. According to custom, to not offer hospitality to guests and welcome them into your home would bring shame on the host. The host is desperate to avoid the shame of appearing inhospitable, not generous, or even worse, unrighteous. That changes things. To deny your friend who turns to you to help release them from something so shameful, that's really cruel. And to deny people who are hungry and you have something to give, that seems really uncaring. So in fact, it's true. The strange thing is true. The person who is knocking on the door shamelessly is right. But then who is this person knocking on the door? Some might think this is us, but hold on a sec. That would mean that God is the one in the house and who is grumbling and doesn't want to get up. Is that the God you know? No, I don't think so. And if that was, I'm not sure that would be the God I want to know. What if we took Jesus at his word? We are the grumbling one in the house, and the person at the door is our neighbor. That could be a great analogy. Jesus is saying, pay attention to your neighbor's needs. But I think there is a more convincing identity. What if God is the one knocking on the door? That changes things. This would mean that God is the one rousing us. God is the one again and again showing up when we least expect it. God is shamelessly persistent. God is knocking all the time. Think about that. God has no shame in coming to you in the middle of the night to wake you up whenever. Doesn't even have to be 3 a.m. It could be in the middle of the day or doing dishes or something that you are concentrating on. How about that as an answer to our prayers? When we think about it that way, God is the one shamelessly knocking on our door, prayer starts to look very different. Since, of course, we aren't really talking about knocking on actual doors, just in case you know you dozed off for a minute. We are talking about prayer. We think of prayer that we can say anything to God, right? We just said it a few minutes ago. At any time. And yes, that is a gift. But if we imagine the gift of prayer is in our transformation through God's shameless persistence, we will eventually get out of bed and respond to God's continual prodding. I used to journal a lot when I was a kid, and I am astounded by some of the things I wrote. You know, I don't think I would write that now. I'm like, who is that? But I'm really often astounded more that my prayers, in the end, that all the things that I wrote about would end up as prayers in the end of the passage. But what is more astounding is that my questions and frustrations or my gratitude would transform into words like this. Maybe I'm wrong. I just what is best in your sight. I believe I am trying to do that. Help me to see what it is you want of me. Or still, or yet, still, not my will, but yours be done. I am astounded that God used these moments of prayer and thoughtfulness to transform my sense of desire into humility and openness to God's actions in my life and God's desires. What we receive through prayer is transformation. We see God's vision of the world and God's vision for the world. Then we cannot help but we receive the Holy Spirit that it causes us to believe that it is not our prayers that transform the will of God, but God's will that transforms us and works in us what God wants for the world. We have a tremendous gift in prayer. Anything you might say to God, God takes note. Whether we like to use fancy words, I know I do, or whether we aren't sure what to ask, or whether we are specifically think that what we should say to God is what he should do. Prayer is a tool God uses and a conduit to transform us with his power. The good news is that Christ teaches us to pray by opening our eyes to what God sees. And that God will shamelessly persist with us in this world. God will continue to meet us in prayer. And God will continue to transform our world through our prayers as we respond to God's continual gifts to us. Amen.